Here we go. Living in Las Vegas starts now. An hour earlier. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome from Las Vegas, Nevada. That groovy little podcast that gives you a true first-person look into what it's like to call Sin City your home. The Living in Las Vegas Podcast.
Here we go!
And now your host,
yes,
a man who clearly needs some kind of introduction, otherwise you wouldn't know who he was, Mr. Scott Whitney.
That was a great video. That was the best opening video you ever had.
It's pretty early in the morning. Feels early. I feel I could use the extra hour of sleep. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Living in Las Vegas podcast here on the Vegas video. You just can't wait to get into this.
I was going
to
say, this is our pre-chat, pre-game.
This is normally while we're hanging out. No, actually, this is normally where I'm going,
where's Brett? I wonder if he'll show up.
I wonder if we should do the show on today.
Not only are we recording the video. Yeah, that's exactly.
Right. But by the way, if I could just say this about those of you who are watching or listening, congratulations.
Absolutely.
Because you know what you're doing? You're watching the longest running show about Las Vegas that actually originates from
Las Vegas.
That's right. And by the way, these two lovely hosts, Carol Mayer and Julie Johnson.
Julie Johnson.
We've been here for a total 30
minutes.
1,000 years here in
Who's
Vegas.
Julie Johnson?
Sometimes you just make shit.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure you're making it up.
I am. Of course, we're not only going to cover what it's like to live here, but we're going to give you our adventures about on the Strip and Fremont Street, downtown, other cool places in the Valley. And by the way, if you're a tourist, you're a fan of the great Las Vegas, well, this show is like your own secret handshake to all things cool and groovy. I promise you, just like Brett, you will be the pretty girl at the party.
Always.
Everybody wants to touch you and look up your skirt. Nothing wrong with that.
Woo!
Don't judge. Hey, we're live every Tuesday night at what time?
Now 7 p.m.
That's right.
We're glad you found us.
At
East
Vegas,
guys, Pacific time.
Both daylight or regular. We go both ways.
Quite we frankly. Do.
We're bi-timey-o. Yeah. VegasVideoNetwork.com/live. Again, VegasVideoNetwork.com/live. We would invite you to join us in the live chat. This is part of the fun about being a live show is, unlike other places where you might be afraid to be a part, you will fear nothing among us. Brett and me, we couldn't be. We're like teddy bears. We're like that cute panda bear that kind of rolled around in the snow, which is appropriate given how goddamn cold it is out there.
It's been nasty the last few days.
But come on into the live chat. Get in there. Have some fun. Meet some great people. Be a part of the show and probably get your questions answered as well. By the way, I'm your host, Scott Whitney. Konnichiwa. Buenas noches. How you doing? I run the Vegas Video Network, been an online broadcaster for oh so many years, and I'm joined by, well, we call him RQS, we call him Drinky Pants. He is the managing director of managing owner. Did I have owner? I actually have managing partner.
That's okay, too. I'm not sure what director means, but that's okay.
Managing partner. Well, director is like a really super high. All right, for fuck's sake, I made one mistake. Managing partner of KSHP Radio. It's Brett Grant, everybody.
Hi again, everybody. Good to see you. Glad you're with us. As always, I shaved for the occasion.
You're a handsome, handsome
man. My beard is gone.
Mm-mm.
I can't help it if I'm the gorgeous.
Have you got feedback about that? Because I happen to like you when you're scruffy.
My wife goes, took her about a day and a half going, oh, you shaved.
Right. Thanks for paying attention, babe.
Thanks for looking at me, honey.
That's good. Yeah. Right.
So, and then my son goes, you look a lot thinner. Okay.
Perfect.
Thank you very much.
Is that what it? So that's what I need to do.
Yeah.
And quit eating shit at 11 o'clock at night before I go to bed.
That's for sure.
Today's over and under.
Oh, let's go with, I think we got a lot to talk about today. I'm going to go with 90,
oh,
89 and a half.
Shit, really? Holy.
We got stuff to discuss.
Maybe, but we may.
Plus, we've got energy because it's an hour earlier.
Right, I feel like I just woke up.
Exactly.
And also, we want to say hello, new in the live chat. We've got a couple, we got three people.
Ooh.
I just saw Gorian Slave Trader. I'm sure that's somebody who we know who's just jerking us. Probably Steve. But if it's not Gurion Slave Trader, please tell us who you are. We've got Glenn in Syracuse. Glenn is a past Have a Drink on Me winner, a lovely young man.
He's actually won prizes.
He has
never been in the live chat.
He has won before. He and his wife, we met at Velveteen Rabbit. He's been listening since the very, very beginning.
Wow.
When there was us, there was Glenn.
Yeah, there was no me. There was you and the Melissa.
2006?
Yeah.
He was there then. And then we also have the Colemans, who are from Edwardsville, Illinois. Lovely burb. Where?
It's in the metro east side of St. Louis.
Oh, there you go.
Home to SIU Edwardsville, a fine university.
So
the Salukis.
We drive by there going to the Effingham.
Not quite, but you can if you want to take the long way.
Well,
I guess you probably could.
Every way there is the long way.
Well, that's true.
Trust me when I tell you.
I had lunch with a buddy from the Effingham today.
Well, you did 4 hours of lunch.
It was a four hour lunch.
That tells you.
It was longer than the Skipper and Gilligan were on the SS Minnow.
Right. Effingham people.
They were doing a 3 hour tour. And they ended up on a deserted island. We had a four-hour lunch. It was fabulous.
I wonder if Scott is aware of the misplaced cable in front of the camera.
Is that...
Nope. I think Eric is drinking again.
Which misplaced...
No, what are you talking about, Eric? Bottom left. Bottom left. Oh, I have no idea what he's talking about.
That's my headphone cable.
No, I don't know. Sometimes we just can't let these people do
this
it.
Is
we
bottom
see
left.
It on the lower
oh,
left.
I see it. I see it right here.
Oh, there. Oh, that.
This
don't
little bugger.
That. That's going to take me out. That's fine.
Can I slide it
a little
bit? How much room you got?
Right.
How much you got where it's coming
That's the one
here?
That's going to kill me.
Oh,
we're still good.
It's going to come back. There it is.
There you go. Good. Hey, thanks, guys. Yeah,
it's
it doesn't look
there.
Very good. I don't like it. Oh, shit. Well,
we've screwed it. No, way to go, Eric.
Wow.
Gosh, I can't believe this. What kind of shoddy operation is Whitney running around here? I mean, this is just ridiculous. We cannot have this anywhere. Why don't you just do this right here? Put a piece of tape right there. Right there. Well, you got a piece of Velcro or something? If you can't fix it, you got to have some duct tape. You fix it, you can't do it, you fuck it and duck it, as they would say. There it is. He's got tape. I told you he's got tape. Just there he is. There he is. Yeah. Just put a little piece right there and we'll be fine. It'll be perfectly fine. Sometime today would be fine if you wanted to do that. Don't you get in too much of a hurry now, Scott.
About me.
All right. Well, now he's making a camera adjustment. There he goes. Now he's in the screen. There he is. He's back again. Oh, and he's performing favors for Brett. What are you doing under the desk? What in the world? I was thinking right here.
Because this part. I think it's out. Look.
All right. You solved the problem.
There you go.
And whew, I need a cigarette.
By the way,
that was fabulous. That was quick but fabulous.
Besides doing live stuff, I tape cables. All right.
Exactly.
And the Colemans Edwardsville, they found us on the Google.
That's beautiful.
Back in 2014. So thank you both
awesome.
To those folks for hanging out. Let us begin
indeed.
Our show.
We got stuff to talk about today.
Yes, we do. Yes, we
Fantabulous.
It's fantastic.
Where shall we start, Scott?
Let's start from the top.
Oh, where's that?
So we're going to be calling this episode Show Me the Money.
Show me the money. We're doing a little
seems to me,
Tom Cruise-y action.
Show me the money.
Right?
It seems to me that as I've been looking at the news the last few days,
right,
pretty much everything that's going on the Strip or around the Strip has to do with money in some way or another.
This is new to you?
It just seems like it's more and more. This kind of falls under the "Is Vegas Lost Its Cool" vibe a little bit, which I still get feedback on that show, by the way. It's pretty cool. But yeah, so let's start with number one. Actually, this came up as a live chat question. And the first one is MGM has decided to outsource their valet parking. Do you hear that sound? That's the collective people in a world going, that's a reasonable one. And let's see. That's a reasonable one. And that's a reasonable one. And
train wreck. Car crash.
So remember what valet is all about. First of all,
indeed.
Valet does two things for folks. If you're if you are staying at the hotel, valet is always free. Always and forever. And for all of us that are local, valet is usually, it's free, but you tip. You know, you do your $5 tip either before or after or both, depending on how they take care of you. But it is one of the things that I think is the quintessential play for Vegas. Because, yes, I know valet parking costs lots of money in other towns.
Right.
But it goes back to part of the reason why people come to Vegas, and trust me, I've been getting a boatload of emails about this, is the feeling that it's different. They're not like all these other places. So MGM has decided they're going to outsource their parking. So they're not just going to say, you guys are employees.
Right.
You guys are my valet people. We're going to keep you under our collective loveling wing. No, 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 no. What we're going to do is outsource you to another company. Okay. Now, this company is called SP Plus, a Chicago-based company that operates over 3,900 parking facilities in North America.
I just actually had to cough.
Well, but I'll tell you what. So you got to figure when they have that large of a business model, whatever's happening here is probably not that big a deal. And right. My guess is they're going to take the experience of 3,900 other parking facilities and use that exact experience here. In other words, what felt like a joyous part of being in Vegas,
right.
A great part of going to whatever property, my feeling is that is dead, gone forever. Now, what are they going to do with the employees there? Well, God bless them. They didn't say you're fired. We're going to let you go. What you're going to do, and I've seen this happen before as well, where they go, you're not going to work for MGM anymore. You're going to work for SP Plus.
Right.
There you go.
Interesting in a couple of facets. They say in the article that we saw today and talked about that they would not lose their MGM seniority.
Right.
They would be working for the new company. They would have the same benefits, the same compensation.
Pay time
now,
off.
My question is, the same compensation for how long?
Right.
Because if this company from Chicago has senior valets in Chicago who suddenly say, gosh, we got a branch in Vegas now, I want to move to Vegas.
You betcha.
I'd like to have one of those jobs.
You betcha.
So I wouldn't say it's guaranteed for very long. And if I'm a valet at one of the MGM properties, I'm getting the hell out of there ASAP within the next. They say it's going to happen over the next 60 days.
Right. You know how many valets there are for all of MGM?
Oh, there's got to be probably 1,000 plus.
Not that many, but it's 400.
That's all. Okay.
Yeah. But, well, if you think about it, they've only got 10 properties.
Well, three shifts,
so
10 properties.
That's 40 per property. But some properties don't have the same, like Circus.
Right, yeah.
Not the same as Bellagio.
Or the Westward Ho or something.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, right. So yeah. It's not going to be the same. But 400 people is a good chunk of people. That's a good-sized company. Right,
well,
here,
what the MGM has done from a business standpoint, obviously, is taken a liability of these 400 employees,
oh, yeah,
having to pay them, pay the FICA on them and FUCA and all that fun stuff, and right, adding 35%.
Right.
And
exactly
instead
right,
turned it into, you're going to pay us to lease,
right,
to be on our property.
Right.
So now I've taken a liability, turned it into a profit center,
right,
with guaranteed money every month.
A pure profit center.
Absolutely.
No cost.
Yep. And now the other company is going to decide if they need 40 valets per property,
right,
or what they're going to need. So
the SP Plus folks employ 22,000 people.
Right.
400 to 22,000. I don't know.
Those 400 people
are going to squall it up. They maintain or they manage 2 million parking spaces in hundreds of cities.
Interesting deal. I guess we have to see how it all shakes out. But, if I'm one of those 400 people and I like my job is at wherever and, I'm at the Bellagio and I'm a valet. Actually, a very good friend of mine is one of the top valet guys. I have to call him and ask him about the news and what he thinks about it.
It would be neat to know because we're sitting out here, third party, we don't really know what the hell we're talking about.
Right.
I just know that I've never dealt with a valet who seemed as pleasant as valets in Vegas. Now,
right,
they're being tipped, but all valets are tipped.
Sure.
Even if I'm in New York, I'm going to tip the valet and about the same amount anyways.
Right.
Even if I pay $30 for a valet in New York, I end up paying $5 for him to bring the thing. I mean,
it depends on the service. If you're waiting for your car for too long, you might not give him as much. But if you see the guy running across the street, running into the garage,
which is
coming down
here,
getting your car, you're going to say, that guy's working hard to go get the car.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
it makes sense
in
that regard. But, it's hard to yell at the MGM from the business standpoint because obviously it's a brilliant move. But from an economic standpoint, it's a brilliant move for him. But public relations-wise, no, it's a horrible move. It's a horrible move.
It just makes me so
I think a lot
unhappy.
Of people are going to be in for a rude awakening. And who's to say? Now, they say contractually, I believe it said in the article, they're going to be price-wise, it's going to be at $10.
I didn't see the pricing on that.
Said still $10.
Oh, okay.
Now, maybe you think about it, if you're a hotel in wherever, San Francisco or New York, you don't have 3,000 and 4,000 hotel rooms in one property like you do in Las Vegas.
Right.
You've got you know, maybe 1,000 hotel rooms is considered, or 2,000 is a big property.
Right.
When you think about the 10 largest hotels in the world, the majority of them are here in Las Vegas.
Right.
So there's a lot more volume, a lot more cars. They could get away with only charging $10. Yeah. And probably for them, for the company who bought this coming in, they're going to look at it as, you know, charging $10 as long as we still have the same volume is going to be fine.
Yeah, Danny says she heard it was 17. I think the interesting thing is, so what will happen is, let's say it's $10.
Right.
So it's not uncommon for me on a Friday or Saturday night to spend $10 on valet parking, right? I'll give you five coming in, because usually if I come in on a Friday night or a Saturday night, you're telling me there's no room. There's always room.
Right.
So I give you a five to make that happen. And when I come out, I'm going to tip you again. So I'm $10 in. So the and a lot of people do this. A lot of locals do this exact same thing. So the question is this. All right. So let's say that they go with what you said. It's a $10 valet, which is cheap.
I'm looking at the article now to see if it's actually mentioned.
And I'm looking at a different one, the Review Journal, but you're looking at the Sun, right?
I'm looking at the Channel 8.
Oh, there you go. So. They got nothing else to do. So they say to me, okay, yeah, it's $10 for valet. How many people will say, yeah, absolutely, here's your $10, and that's it. Right. We're not going to tip. Because I'm guessing those 22,000 workers in the other places are reliant on tips. And I think the change is so drastic here in Vegas that people are going to be pissed off. I mean, I know the locals, I mean, not the locals, the tourists who I've talked to, who come here often, are not happy either about the parking or the valet, which is actually an interesting thing. What does valet cost? Well, hold on. Here's another thing. Let's say it is $10. And I think you'd mentioned before that you thought the parking was $10. Well, fuck all valet.
Right.
I'll just valet.
That's a good point.
Why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah.
You would do that. So
well, it's interesting, though, because we both read that original statement. It said overnight parking was going to be the charge.
Right.
And now apparently that word overnight has dropped out.
Oh, well.
It didn't take long, maybe, you know, a few hours. I think a couple things are going to happen. Number one, people that are coming into town are going to rethink staying at MGM until the other properties hop on board.
Yeah, I think that might be true.
And so Mandalay Bay is going to be sold out before New York, or MGM.
No, they're both. Those are both MGM properties.
Okay, give me one that's not.
Well, Caesars.
Okay, so people are gonna be staying at Caesars and Harrah's and Paris before they're gonna
Flamingo.
Choose
All
to
those
go
are
to
Caesar
New York,
properties.
New York, or something.
Yeah, I think there might be something to that. I think.
I just think it's a much smarter move that you hide the fee and you make it part of your resort fee and you say that includes parking.
Right, and we talked
or whatever.
About this
and then
as well.
It's just a way to do. You want to charge parking, then make your resort fee all inclusive of all that stuff. Add an extra whatever, you know, some kind of dollar.
Well, then the people
your...
who flew in here and took a taxi here would be go, what the fuck am I being charged a resort fee for parking that I'm not going to do, which is a legitimate argument.
But your resort fee includes many things, sir. It includes the pool guy, cleaning the pool. It includes the housekeeping. It includes the landscaping.
I don't believe that's on the itemized.
I'm just saying. You can make that resort fee mean whatever you want it to mean.
Understood.
You know, that's all I'm saying.
Understood. Yeah, I think this is going to be really just a ball
I'm
of
just,
shit for these guys.
I want to see what happens in the first 6 months of this thing and how long before Caesars does the same thing and which properties follow and which properties hold out. Because eventually they're all going to realize, holy crap, we're losing a ton of money because look at what the MGM's doing and it hasn't affected their booking. So if the MGM goes from whatever 90% capacity,
so that'll be interesting to
down
see.
To 85% capacity, then let's take a look.
So they said they're going to start this in April. That's the beginning of Q2. If it's a calendar year, I don't know what their calendar, what their year is, their fiscal
usually
year.
Usually corporations are
October,
June,
so it might be Q3, but it's still the same. It's 3 months, 3 months, 3 months.
Right.
So whether they start in October or January, it's still April is the beginning of the next quarter. Whether it's the second quarter or the third quarter. So it'll be interesting to see how that quarter performs for them and if people really are going to vote with their pockets and say, look, you know, this is all bullshit. I think it's kind of a drag, a huge drag. I think the valet people are going to get raped. Here, if you're, like I said, if you're valet parker right now, you are pissed.
I'm looking for a transfer in the department. Like, I want to be now with the bellhop guy.
Yeah. You want to be the guy who's calling taxis and getting a buck every time he walks in, which is considered one of the best jobs, by the way.
Hard to get.
All right. So that's part of the money deal. And then if you say to yourself, okay, well, what percentage of business right now in the major casinos, what percentage of that is gaming versus non-gaming? We've already seen that the gaming business in the strip has dropped.
Right.
Which explains why you're seeing, you know, these great restaurants and you're seeing the big clubs and you know, like for instance, your Budweiser is about to have a beer garden, which right. when you think beer garden, you think Budweiser.
Absolutely.
Oh, Jesus Christ. The one beer that gives me a headache whenever I, it's like to me, Budweiser is the southern comfort of beer.
Here comes the king.
I look at it.
Here comes the A number one.
Boom, 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 boom.
Budweiser beer, the king is second to none. But dude, we learned this in first grade in St. Louis.
Well, so this is
like right next to Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. It's here comes the
What's
king.
What's the level of alcoholism in eighth graders in St. Louis? It's relatively high. So you look at, I mean, you look at every report that's coming from all the strip properties now, and they all say about the same thing. Gaming is down, and it's been down for a while. Of course, if you talk to the people in the downtown over on the free on, they're like, oh, we're kicking the shit out of the strip properties, which
yeah, right.
I wouldn't call it kicking the shit out of strip properties, but you're doing better. But your better is much smaller than
right.
than their loss. But
percentage wise, you're talking yeah.
But so Boyd Gaming now, who does anybody know who Boyd Gaming runs?
Well, a lot of downtown properties.
Yeah, a lot of downtown properties.
Yes.
So they're going to go and they're saying we're going to add 20 restaurants. At a cost of
Samstown
at $100 million in Vegas and elsewhere. Interesting is
elsewhere.
So they have properties.
They have Tunica,
exactly.
And all
as a matter of fact, in
okay.
both of those places.
Right.
And so what's interesting is that 65% of strip income is for non-gaming stuff. 65%.
Wow,
that's a swing.
That is huge.
That's a big swing. And we're going to talk a little bit about an email I got that talks about the concentration of games on floors now. And it has changed significantly, which I don't think is a good thing, by the way. But so, yeah, they own, thank you, Binky. They own Main Street. They own Fremont. They have Orleans. Those are all Boyd Gaming properties. So 65% of income is non-gaming versus 80% off the strip. So Biloxi.
Right.
Those kind of places. But clearly, Boyd is like, oh, shit. You know, we're kind of seeing what's going on. And one has to ask, you know, and I don't know what, you know, what percentage of our viewers are millennials. You know, I think our viewership tends to skew a bit more mature, probably in the 30 and above range.
They're our age.
And above.
And they're good looking.
And they're good. And you know, I am actually the quintessential tourist. You know, the typical tourist coming to Vegas is 54 years old. They spend $600. They're here for 3.5 days. That was me.
Great.
That's exactly what I did.
Yeah.
Before I was 60 or 54. And so they're like, okay, well, so what we're going to do. And so now the problem is going to be this. Vegas is known as being arguably one of the greatest restaurant towns in the country.
Right.
In the country. What happens when there are too many great restaurants?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because I was talking to my buddy today from the Effingham. We were having lunch and we're at table 10 inside the Palazzo.
Oh.
And he was talking about a restaurant he had dinner at the night before over at the Aria. I can't remember what it was, but you know, he was amazed. We were talking about restaurants, the number of restaurants in general in Las Vegas. He goes, right. How do they staff all these places? And I go, it's a combination. There's a lot of moving parts. People are moving from property to property all the time.
Especially when a new place
opens.
If
you're a line cook, you move up a new place opens up. Maybe you become, you know, there's a sous chef moves over here, becomes a better person. You are a waiter or you are a busboy. Now you can become a waiter over at this particular place or somebody leaves and you're moving up. So there's a lot of up the ladder kind of movements. There's parallel movements that happen all the time as well.
Yep.
Then there's still some stability going through it, but you know, just from being in the radio business and dealing with restaurants on literally a daily basis, you'd be shocked how many times the managers change. It's just amazing. I mean, even my little walking gourmet business, I'm sending out an email to people, say, hey, I got a reservation. I need 6 people coming tomorrow at 2:40, and they're like, hey, Brett, take Mike's name off the list. Add Chuck's.
Right.
What happened to Mike? Yeah, he moved over to wherever. And it's like, you know, 3 months later, I'll take Melissa off because now it's Sally's doing this now. Like, good God, these people are all over the place.
Wow.
It's hard to keep track.
They're going to spend, Boyd's going to be spending $30 million just in the Orleans.
Okay.
$30 million.
Yeah, they own the Gold Coast, Orleans, all that kind
of
stuff.
A load of money.
Well, there's a lot of restaurants just in the Orleans as
That's
well.
A boatload of
But
money.
If you think about it, there's so much competition on strip and Orleans close to strip, but obviously off strip. But when you've got the Rio right there, you've got the Gold Coast, you've got the Orleans, you've got the Palms, you're competing against all those people right there for the non-strip
dollars. And they're kind of in purgatory there as well. Right? Yeah. They're not on the strip. They're not really locals' casinos. They're a little bit too expensive for locals.
The Orleans, not.
I was just going to say.
Orleans and Palms, I would say yes. Well, Rio's more not as local.
Yeah.
But the Orleans is a pretty local crowd.
Well, I think what they're trying to do is say, we want to be local. We want to do what Station's doing, which is about ready to go public again. You know what they're going to call their public name?
Station's? What?
Nope.
No.
Red Rock Resorts.
Oh, good idea.
Isn't that interesting?
Smart move, because that's their signature property.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, so I mean, I like the Orleans. I was here when the Orleans was built. I was there for the fireworks when it opened up. I spent a lot of time gaming in there and had a lot of fun. It was originally Coast property, and you know, well run and still is. I don't dislike Boyd. I think Boyd does a nice job in town. I remember playing golf one time with a guy who was an executive at Boyd right before the crash. And they had blown up the Stardust, and they're getting ready to build Echelon, right? Is that what that was going to become, the Echelon?
Yes.
And the place was vacant, or basically work had stopped for months.
Yeah.
We're playing golf one day, and I go, "What happened? I mean, why'd you stop the?" He goes, "Look, we got like a a $5 billion line of credit, and it's actually cheaper for us to keep the cranes there and not work them than it is to build the building right now. So we're going to use that money elsewhere and improve." Improve existing properties and do other stuff and ride this thing out for a while. So that's one of the reasons why Echelon never got built. It was just, unfortunately for them, the timing of 2006 through 2008, 2009 when the economy sucked.
That's interesting. My prediction is, and this is a hopeful prediction, but you know, how many places have $54 prime or $54 ribeyes, bone-in ribeyes? All of them.
Right.
And really, they really do differ. They're still no better than the Capital Grill. I'm just going to tell you that right now. But my guess is if they keep putting in these high-end restaurants, eventually there's going to be downward pressure on pricing, which is good.
Well, it'd be an elimination of restaurants, too. There won't be as many.
And that, too.
You know, I mean, competition's going to strangle out the weakest links, and concepts will be tried, and concepts won't work, and we'll have... And the strongest survive.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I mean, you have to have a nice hotel to be able to justify a nicer restaurant because of the hotel's clientele. So, for example, at Mandalay Bay, which is a nice hotel, it makes sense to have a nice restaurant like Areola or whatever the name of that fucking restaurant.
Well, if you think about it, let's go back to the 1970s. Okay, obviously, gaming was the attraction that brought people in.
Right.
Okay, so... Whatever, you're at the Desert Inn, or you're at the Sands, or wherever you are.
Right.
Every one of those hotels had about four or five restaurants. They had a great high-end restaurant that was only open for dinner.
Yep.
They had a coffee shop. Mm-hmm. They had a buffet. And they might have had an Italian or a Mexican restaurant as your choices.
Yep.
And the gaming kept you on property. They also, like the Desert Inn, had their own golf course. The Tropicana had their own golf course.
Yep.
So the biggest thing for the gaming industry is to keep you on property.
Yes.
Now you don't gamble as much as you used to do, so all these other amenities become so much more important.
Mm.
The pool is now suddenly a much bigger attraction
than it
used to be.
You know, when I look at a place for vacation,
absolutely.
The number one thing I look at is their pool.
Right.
It's the number one thing I consider.
So the entertainment options, as opposed to having one show to go see Sammy Davis or whatever, now you've got multiple shows. Look at the Planet Hollywood. They got 10 shows rolling through Planet Hollywood.
Yeah.
Now they've got shopping malls on property. How many malls are there now? There's hundreds of them. Hundreds is probably an exaggeration, but
it feels like a mall.
Every casino has shops.
Yep.
So, and I always look at them, and you walk around, look at some of these shops, and there's nobody ever there, and thinking, how are these places still around?
Right.
Then it's the food, and then now it's the clubs, the nightlife, the clubs. So there's been this evolution that's happened over the last 35 years. You know, they tried the kid part with the. You know, the thingies for kids at the MGM and other places, Circus, I should say. And while some of them have still hung around, the Adventure Domes of the World and places like that, they realize it's an adult playground and not a kid playground. And they're evolving and they continue to evolve. So I got to give the casinos credit for that part of it, identifying that we're losing money here, we're losing. We got to find a way to boost
over. But here's the thing that concerns me about that. And of course, I mean, we're business people. Business people look at what's going on, and you say, hey, we got to make a change. I mean, the perfect example of that in a small world is the Vegas Video Co-op. I thought, I got to come up with a way to help people who can't afford my big stuff, but also help fill my thing.
Right.
So that was a solution for customers, but also for myself.
Sure, sure.
But here's the difference. What the co-op did was really help lots of people.
Sure.
The question about what's happening in Vegas is simply this. I understand they're chasing the money, but does it become a race to the bottom? Meaning that you're losing the je ne sais quoi that is associated
right.
with Vegas. And I know, you know, you kind of, I wouldn't say you've poo-pooed it, but there is a certain secret vibe about Las Vegas that these free things are all about.
Right.
And it's going away. And I really think that Vegas will no longer be the specialist place. Because right now it's the specialist place in the country.
Right.
Without question.
Just like Orlando is for families.
Yeah. But yes, for sure. But right. Overall, if you talk to anybody, any adult, and say, hey, where do you want to go? There aren't many people who say, and you would say, well, Mormons don't want to go. Fuck, they don't. They own the place.
Right.
They own all of this. You say, well, you know, Vegas is the place to go. There's just something about being able to be lost. Actually, I got a couple emails from, you know, often visitors who said, I think I read it last week, part of the joy in Vegas is getting lost.
Well, there's, we're talking about this kind of at lunch today. There's certain things that you can't do at home.
Right.
Like, you know, take off your tie and unbutton your collar and go crazy.
Right.
And just
walk around
for
with a
4 days.
Foot drink.
Exactly. And just get shit faced for 3 days and then go home and go back to your high paying job.
There's something to be said for that.
Because if you did that at home, everybody thinks you got a drinking problem.
Yeah.
Right? And we better watch out for Chuck over there.
But
he's got a problem.
Nobody says that. They think
right.
Scott's a neat guy.
Yeah. Well, you play it well.
Thank you very much.
But you come here for a weekend of drunken debauchery. And it's no big deal. You're just part of the crowd.
Yeah, and they've got to be very careful. I mean, I really think the Has Vegas Lost Its Cool title really was a pretty exacting title because it's starting to feel less and less cool, more and more corporate. And it's been corporate for a long
right.
time, of course, but for a while the corporate guys were pretending they were cool. God bless their little lying heart.
Right.
And now it sounds like they're like, oh, shit, they're panicking. And what they do, so in sales... And actually in sports, it's called playing tight,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right?
Where you're so worried that you're not loose.
Right.
You know, and this is an interesting drinking analogy. Oftentimes drunk drivers, when they get in an accident, don't get hurt. Why?
Because they're loosey-goosey.
They're like,
oh, you're right.
Blam! So what happens?
Did I just hit something?
Yeah, well, that was a wake up.
That was a semi.
Yeah. And I think what's happening now, it feels like Vegas is playing tight. And I get this a lot. Actually, just came up in the live chat. Binky says, bean counters. So here's the thing about the whole bean counter thing. You hear this a lot from musicians. Oh, the bean counters have taken over, and that's what makes Vegas bad. And that's not exactly accurate. Remember back when the mob owned Vegas, they had, you know, Sinatra and all these guys, and you're right. like, and they were comping this and comping that, and live musicians were playing, mm-hmm. and this is where musicians get all pissy about this. And they're like, they should bring it back instead of all these DJs. And I'm like, you know what? The mafia and the accountants today had the exact same criteria. There was no difference. And the criteria was making money in the casino.
Right.
Period. So I guarantee you if Bugsy, bink, or Jimmy 2G's.
Exactly.
If Bugsy said, you know what? We've got Sinatra doing the 5 o'clock show, which was happening back then. And it's a great show. Shit, I love Sinatra. Fly me to the moon, baby. But ain't nobody gambling. Fucking Frankie's not working anymore.
Right.
And so the reason why it worked is because back then, people with money and gambling happened as a result of that. It's the same thing today. There is no difference. Except if you look at the DJs who are getting six-figure deals for a right. night or two, they're bringing in people who are buying $1,000 bottles of fucking $20 vodka.
Right.
That's very profitable. And so it's the same
And then they're
thing.
Doing it at the pool all weekend long, and the restaurants and the food and everywhere else, and the party rolls on all over the place.
So the money is the money is the money.
Yeah.
The question is there a, for me, is there a way to sustain the magic that Vegas had, and still be profitable? I'm not saying that casinos shouldn't be profitable. I would like for them to be profitable because I would like them for them to be around.
Sure.
But they've, I think,
I guess, you know, we'll find out what the public is willing to take. It's no different than what you saw in Iowa yesterday. How much can the public take?
Right. And by the way, so, this wasn't on my list, but like Cirque du Soleil is about ready to redo a bunch of their shows. They're going to change O, they're going to change Love, and one more, I just forgot what it was. They're going to retool those shows.
Right.
Those are, well, O and Love are arguably two of their best ones. Ka, they're not going to redo. It might have been Mystere.
They could kill Mystere for all I care.
Well, see, I like Mystere. But they're going to make these changes. Why? I think there's clearly there's a reason. The reason has to be
they're not selling enough tickets.
That's right.
Right.
So, you know what? The shine is beginning to come off a lot of what's happening here.
Well,
and it makes me unhappy about
those shows are also been around for a very long time. So you got to find a way to get people to want to come back and see it again. So you make some changes to it. Because how many times can you go out and see the same show over and over again?
Well, for sure.
You might do it three or four times over the course of a decade. But you're like, I see O every time I come to Las Vegas. I don't know that there's a lot of people that are doing that.
But I don't think there's anybody who would do that to anything. Only show that, I mean, can you think of anything that you would see many times every time?
Other than a band, no.
Well, even that, I'd be like, I'm a big Van Halen fan. All right, I've had enough of the fake. I don't remember what my fucking lyrics are. And where the hell is Michael Anthony?
Right.
I can only do so much of that. All right, so
Bring next up, Sammy.
Speaking of the Super Bowl, which I don't think we're allowed to say, but Super Bowl, fuck you, NFL.
We can say Super Bowl. We're not promoting a product.
We can't promote the product, right. So Cox, which is the major provider of television here in the Las Vegas.
They're major Cox.
They're big Cox. They're the big Cox.
Exactly.
And Channel 8, which is CBS, which has Super Bowl 50 on it, are in a bit of a pissing contest. And in case you're wondering what that means, every so often, I don't know if it's every year or 3 years or 5 years, there's a negotiation between the carriers and the stations that say, well, you're going to pay me X to put my stuff on the Cox.
Right.
Right. So to give you an example, normally the live broadcast guys, so that's your ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, the local affiliates, they get about $1 per household who has
on your cable bill. So when you look at your cable bill and it's $90, $1 is going
goes to CBS, one goes to ABC, one the local affiliate about. So that's sometimes a little bit less.
And this is where the whole thing is satellite-wise and internet-wise is all kind of changing, where Cox eventually is going to be a model that won't work. Mm. You know, CBS is owned by...
Let me finish this math, though. It's important so people understand what's going on and what they're asking for. So it's about $1, a little bit less than $1 for all these things. Now, if you look at the high end, the highest paid cable provider is ESPN. ESPN makes, get this, $8 per household that has cable and has their stuff. ESPN is the highest paid of all the cable providing.
Right.
Now, that's why they're getting their ass handed to them right now. They've lost thousands, maybe actually millions of viewers because people are doing what we've done, which is basically cutting the cord.
Right.
They're using Roku, for example, or Apple TV or whatever to say, you know what, I don't really need to do commercials anymore. I don't really care about broadcast television bullshit. I care about sports, but I can do that with an antenna, which is about ready to hurt these people. Okay. And then you look at somebody like TNT. So they do movies and reruns, and they're making about $1.65. So now you know where they're at. So what Cox is saying is that Channel 8, CBS, is going, yeah, we want $3 for
I never heard the official number. What was it? Was it $3?
I had heard $3. Okay. Now, so Cox said $3. And everybody in the broadcasting world was like, what? That's insane.
Right.
Cox is like, that's not what we said. And so every reporter who has got, you know, hair on their said, well, how much is it? Yeah, well, we're not going to tell you how much we asked for. Well, okay, so here's the deal. So that's going on. So right now,
this is CBS, which is owned by the way, they're owned by Nexstar,
right?
Which is 13 stations that are affected that they're negotiating with Cox for. So all 13 stations, so went off the air basically what January 30th
on the 29th, 30th at midnight. So right in the middle of
I think Jimmy Kimmel or whatever, whatever they carry,
Stephen
Colbert.
It was like. Off.
See ya.
Like, bye. And now there's a thing up there that says this station is demanding significant fee increase for this channel and has pulled it from Cox viewers. Visit CoxCommitment.com for the latest information. What's interesting about this is a couple things. First of all, before they pulled them, I think Cox might have done something illegal but I'm not sure. And that is, they had a lower third running all the time that says, this is Channel 8. No, wait, who is this?
Well, they're telling people to buy Dish and DirecTV. Yeah, Channel 8 was doing that.
Channel 8 was doing that. Yeah. Oh, it's Channel 8. Oh, so it's not illegal. They can do whatever the fuck they want. But I thought it was pretty funny that they're basically using Cox to advertise their competitors. I would think Cox might go, you know, part of our agreement, paragraph 20, blank 8, says you really can't advertise our competitors.
Well, the interesting thing is, in any negotiation, and you know this, is all about leverage. Yeah. So CBS has the leverage because they have the Super Bowl coming up in 4 days.
Yep.
So if you look at, if you go to CBS's website, you know, Channel 8's website in town, what is it, Las Vegas now, they've got a countdown until the Super Bowl. Yeah. They've got ways of you saying, where can you go buy an antenna so you can watch the game still in HD, by the way.
Yeah.
With an HD antenna, and they've got a, you know, they've got a statement on the website talking about all these things. So they've got the leverage because I think it's 54% of Las Vegas.
It's 48.
48. Okay.
But basically, a large
is number. Cox Communication 48. Subscribers. 48%.
Yeah.
So half the market cannot see the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Which is the number one event
at home.
Television event of the year. Every year, the Super Bowl is numero uno, and it will be again. You've got Peyton Manning, who is an aging star on his way out. I don't think it'll be a great game, but I think it'll be very highly watched because people love Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be well watched. So you're going to have a lot of people, and here's the other thing. People are oblivious. So there's people who probably don't watch CBS at all during the week. They're going to turn on the game on Sunday and go, where the hell is CBS?
Yep.
Well, what? And I'm going to say, well, you maybe should stick up on current events. But you might want to open a newspaper or get on the internet once in a while and read about stuff. And just,
we're going to be electing a new president soon.
Yeah, yeah. There's some caucuses going on. The Michael Duke caucuses are going on right now. So the leverage obviously is in CBS, Nexstar's hand over Cox. But the question is, are they looking for a triple increase from $1 to $3? Because that's huge. I can't blame Cox.
It won't happen.
You know, that ain't going to happen.
It ain't going to happen.
So maybe they're somewhere in the middle. But, you know, like any negotiation, it's all about the timing and the leverage.
And Cox, of course, would be terrified because if, in fact, they said, okay, we're not going to give you a dollar, we'll give you two, as an example.
Right.
And again, you know, all of the broadcasters, the local broadcasters, whether it's in Las Vegas or Poughkeepsie, it doesn't matter. They're the ones providing fresh, live local content.
Right.
Which is what, and it's the majority of content being consumed by these folks, right? So they actually have a story.
The funny thing
to tell.
For me is it's probably the three stations I watch the least.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that.
You know.
I don't watch it anymore because of Roku. I watch Netflix and Amazon stuff and HBO stuff.
I mean, do you sit down to watch the 11 o'clock news or the 6 o'clock
I
news?
I don't. Sometimes I will.
I never do. Like, unless there's a monster story or something.
Like at 10 o'clock, I'll watch Fox because their news is at 10.
Yeah.
So if I just kind of want to know what's happening, and that's the only reason why I have TV is live sports.
Right.
So baseball, football, basketball.
Pornography.
No, you don't get that on cable unless you have
the Playboy
special one that you have. I don't have that.
Whatever you
And then breaking news. So if something happens, I want to be aware of
what's,
that's why you have it. But here's the truth. And those of us who have, you know, started to make that change from using the $100 a day or month cable is that HD antennas are bitching, quite frankly.
Yeah.
And you can get all of the, I mean, it depends on where you are.
Somebody said 14 channels or so on HD in town that they got pretty
quick. I just had it installed at our studio.
Okay.
And I have
at least 20, I don't know.
At least 20.
Okay.
But most importantly, I've got ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, and then whatever else, Telemundo or whatever it is.
Right.
But I get them all. And it was the cost to put an antenna up. And as a matter of fact, I split it with my next door neighbor there. So I put it in my place and we put it in his place. We split the cost. Done.
That's cool.
Right. And he did the same thing at his house. I mean, he dropped an antenna from his house and put it into five different TVs throughout his house.
That's a good idea.
So now you've got that going into you for your live stuff. And then you use, you know, Hulu Plus. You take Roku. You use Hulu Plus, Amazon, Netflix. And now you basically have everything you want. Hulu Plus will give you all the other stuff if you didn't catch it on time. The real great content is happening on these other guys, the Amazons and the Netflix. Fuck it. And HBO. And you can get all those now without having to buy it as a big $125 package. I really think that both Cox for sure is probably like, oh, shit. This is the beginning of the Armageddon. We are in deep shit
Well, for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And ESPN, they've got tons of liability that they put out there with regards to rights to have the NFL and the NBA and all the, you know, the football and college football and all those kind of things. They owe billions with a B in rights fees. Obviously, that's why they're charging $8. Plus, they have ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic. Right. They got a bunch of channels going through. And I honestly don't watch ESPN unless there's a game on.
Right.
I don't watch their shows. There's one show I'll watch, the 30 for 30,
30 for 30,
which
are
kind of cool.
But you can get, so you can get that on Netflix.
Yeah.
For nothing.
Sure.
Well, you can
go $14 prescription a month for Netflix.
No, it's not. No, it's like $6.99.
You get it on Hulu or whatever.
Or whatever it is. But it's like, and those 30 by 30s, by
they're
the way, are awesome.
Yeah, they're very good.
It was cool.
Right.
So I really see this is a perfect example of what's going to eventually happen is people are going to go, you know what, I've had enough. We're going to go back to antenna to get the – because you need to be informed about what's happening in your location. That's smart. But for the rest of the content, I tell you, I haven't had the big $100-and-whatever cable bill in about 4 years. I thought Melissa would miss it, actually.
Right.
And we're doing all right. It's okay.
I have DirecTV, so I'm not affected by it, and I enjoy having 8,000 channels, of which I watch 8.
And that's the thing, though.
You know, that's the other problem. I think eventually what's going to happen with cable, and that is the a la carte's coming.
Yeah.
Because if you're a sports fan, you're still getting the Hallmark channel and OWN and all the other networks that you never watch.
Right.
And people like Melissa, who never watched sports, I'm just going to say she doesn't.
Understood.
Is paying for ESPN, even though she might never turn on ESPN and hates all sports.
And this will kill
her. She wants the cooking channel. She wants the other channels.
If that happens.
I'm going to be as stereotypical as possible. She wants Lifetime. And,
yeah, yeah. If ESPN.
The vagina channel.
I've been to the vagina town. Hell, I produced it. And by the way, if that happens, if true a la carte happens, ESPN goes bankrupt.
It's going to be interesting.
Has to.
The next 10 years will be very
has
intriguing.
Has to go bankrupt. There are billions of dollars into NFL, NBA, whoever else they're into. They're into it. And they would have to be either bankrupt or renegotiate.
They've already laid off a bunch of people as well.
Yeah, I think it'd be bad. Now, speaking of NFL, I can't wait to get your
opinion. The No Fun League.
Can't wait to get your opinion on this. How are we doing on time? Oh, my God. It's already 40.
I told you. We got a lot to talk about.
All right. So there's been rumors. You know, basically everybody who's got an NFL team wants to move it, including the Raiders. And apparently, they're coming to Vegas. Tell me a story.
Oh, here's the funny thing about this. If this actually happened, let's just say it actually happened. The amount of people who hate Sheldon Adelson in this town for his, whether it's his politics or non-union workers or for whatever reason, the owner of Sands Corporation, he would be the one that would facilitate the ability for the Raiders to come here.
Yeah.
He would be the partner that would help get the stadium built. He would suddenly be like the patron saint of Las Vegas because everybody loves the NFL. Now, the interesting thing about the Raiders are there's a couple of things. Let me say this about a couple of things. The NFL did not want the Raiders to go to Los Angeles because, as they said, behind closed doors, we don't want the Sons of Anarchy crowd to be in our NFL stadiums.
Which, by the way, is a perfect description of who those crazy bastards are.
Right. Now, they're not all criminals, but they might have been in the past.
Yeah.
So,
right.
It is a very rough crowd overall.
It's a. Right. Would you ever go to a Raiders game in Oakland?
Probably not. Well,
I would never go to a Raiders game in Oakland,
wearing the jersey of the opponent.
Well, I'll tell you what I would do. I'd go if A, I had a police escort. B, I was in one of those groovy boxes with glass, but special glass, bulletproof glass. And C, I left it about the third quarter because I don't want to have to put up with these fuckheads.
You show up late and leave early. You'd be like a Dodger fan for baseball.
Yeah, I'd be the president.
Take that, Jackie.
Good game.
Yeah. You know, here's the interesting thing about the Raiders and the NFL. Number one, the NFL hates Las Vegas. So for the NFL to allow a team to come here, they're going to have to change their feeling about this evil thing that people in Las Vegas do called gambling.
Let me speak to that. So the NFL, in response to the rumor that the Raiders would like to come here and build a billion-dollar stadium around the UNLV area, the NFL sent a letter to all the owners, all 32 owners, and it said, the memo first reported by the Daily News specifically addressed the talk of Las Vegas as a proposed destination for an NFL team and addressed Davis's tour of the proposed blah, 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 blah. Much of the buzz about Vegas luring has centered around whether the NFL would bar their move because the states legalized gambling. However, the memo tells the teams there are no preconceived rules regarding relocation. The memo directed the team to not assume that a move to Las Vegas would be vetoed by the league. It said the NFL, which needs 24 yes votes by owners to move a franchise, would take Las Vegas as seriously as any other prospective home or relocation.
All right. That's interesting. That? Well, yeah, obviously it takes 75% approval for the Raiders to move and the market that they move to. Yeah. That's point one. Will the NFL allow that to happen? I guess that's wait to be seen. The other part is the owners hate Mark Davis.
Right.
They hate him. Mark Davis, the son of Al Davis, the renegade owner who obviously sued the NFL and moved from Oakland to Los Angeles, then back to Oakland and basically thumbed his nose and flipped him the bird on the way into town and the way out of town, is not well-liked. And Mark Davis, if you took all the owners as billionaires, Mark Davis has about $3 in his checking account. Okay, these things are actual facts with regards to Mark Davis. He wears a fanny pack. He drives a Dodge Caravan.
Oh.
He uses a flip phone.
Oh.
And he regularly attends Two for Tuesday taco nights at a local little place.
He's charming.
He's a rather eccentric dude who is, you could say he's a man of the people.
Sure.
But he's certainly not the typical billionaire, high-leverage broker deal kind of guy. He's got daddy's franchise, and he's got a little bit of money. When you look at Stan Kroenke, who's got $11 billion, or Paul Allen, who owns Seattle and owns Microsoft, who's got more money than God, there's little Mark Davis who lives down in the ghetto. So he needs a Sheldon Adelson to make it happen.
Yeah.
Now, from a Las Vegas perspective, where they're talking about putting the stadium across the street from the Thomas and Mack Center.
Yeah.
On those acreage over there.
65,000 seats.
That is not Las Vegas. So this has nothing to do with the city of Las Vegas. It's unincorporated Clark County.
Yep.
And they're talking about using $700 million in public money to make this happen. So there's not a chance in hell, in my opinion, that the county, Clark County, is going to come up with $700 million to build a billion-dollar stadium when they have a billionaire who's saying, let's build a stadium. They're going to say, go ahead, build a stadium. Now, just a month ago, St. Louis came up with $400 million to try and keep the Rams, and the NFL thumbed their nose at $400 million.
Right.
And now you're going to ask the folks around the Las Vegas area to come up with $700 million on a stadium. If I'm a councilman or a what do we call our Clark County guys, aldermen?
Douchebags.
If I'm a part of the board of aldermen for Clark County, I'm saying – that's city councilman. That's the alderman for Clark County, I think.
I don't know.
You're telling them, you guys just turned down $400 million from St. Louis, and you want us to come up with $700 million. I've got two choices for you. It's go.
No, and hell no.
Yeah, that's the nice way. And number C is go fuck yourself. So,
and number C.
Or letter C. So, and E would or D would be all the above.
Right. No, hell no, go fuck yourself.
I think it's going to have to be a lot bigger private investment into that. And you think about it, it wasn't that long ago they're trying to build a stadium downtown for a soccer team.
God, man, I don't understand what's going on. Everybody wants to build a goddamn stadium now. I don't think we can support. It's only 2 million people here. It's not that big.
Well, I think the NFL would be a no-brainer. I mean, it would happen. If you get the stadium built.
Uh-oh. Okay, so we're going to talk about this.
I think it'd be very successful. Because
you think so?
I do.
I don't think so.
It's only 10 days a year. The football team is only playing at home 2 preseason games and 8 home games a year.
Oh, that's a really good
point. And now it's like, okay, the Packers are playing the Las Vegas Raiders. How many Packer fans do you think are going to come to Las Vegas for that weekend?
Well,
how many Cardinal fans? How many Steeler fans? How many Bronco fans?
We talked a little bit about that in hockey, though. I mean, why,
people
if I'm
will
coming
show
to Vegas. Listen, when I'm one of those locals who still remembers the magic of Vegas when I didn't live here, which many locals have lost that magic. I still get it. If I am coming to Vegas for my 4.5 days, I don't know that I want to see my local team. I don't know if
But if you're a diehard NFL guy, you're planning your trip around the game, is what I'm saying.
And I've heard
that's
that before.
That's the change. And I don't think
before,
I think it's a complete.
Fuck me. I don't know. I think people are reaching on how important that would be for tourists who spend 4.5 days
I think it'd be
to
huge.
Do all. I don't know, man.
If you look currently,
by the way, they're betting on that without question. That's a bet.
But if you look at like games in Arizona in Phoenix, and you're in a cold weather city, and you're playing a game in December. You look out, they're playing the Packers, which they did in December this year. There's probably 10 to 15,000 Packer fans in that building. So they're going to help fill the building, especially early because you don't have the fan base necessarily here.
Well, that's a good point.
To do it. I mean, they will do that. But you know, the other point I want to make is here's the MGM building a – I'm not sure how much they're spending on the T-Mobile Arena on the big T overall.
A lot.
But they're doing it themselves. And again,
no, they're not. They're in there with live.
No, there's no public money. I mean,
Yes.
It's 100% private.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
So now you're going to say to the NFL guys, wait a second, MGM just built this beautiful new $400 million arena, whatever the number
whatever
was. I don't know what the number is. Yeah. Somebody help me out with the number.
It's only 20,000 seats only.
Right. I understand the expense part of it. But they're doing it with all private money. Now, yes. You're asking us to give you, again, the city, the county, whoever.
And you're asking a company. Well, if they're asking us to do that, I think it's going to happen anyways because we're fucking trying to get money back again. I think we're all kind of, the city and the county is trying to figure out how to make more money.
It really is a battle of the Joneses. I mean, to keeping up with the Joneses and bigger and better and more bigger and beautiful and all
that. Let me just say this. If we had to pick any team, the Rams ain't it. I'm sorry. The Raiders aren't it for me.
Yeah. I'm with you. I think it brings an element that you don't necessarily need.
I think
need.
It's a bad element.
Remember the All-Star
game? We already have enough bad. Yes,
there you
I
go.
Do. We already have a bit of a negative connotation at times, earned at times.
Sure.
And now we're going to bring those guys over here?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. This is the Vegas Video Network, and this show is called Living in Las Vegas. This episode of Living in Las Vegas is brought to you by the Vegas Video Co-op. Because your online presence is often your only chance to begin a meaningful sales conversation, please take a moment and visit VegasVideoCoop.com. Highlight your business, start a talk show, or unleash your genius for a low monthly fee. Use promo code LILV for a special discount to our viewers and listeners. That's VegasVideoCoop.com.
It's time to rock!
It is.
That's right.
That hurts me just looking at you, dude.
You should try it from this
side.
Yeah,
I'm getting over a cold, and one of the great things, obviously you don't want to have a cold because you don't feel 100%.
No, you don't.
And you've got, you're hacking and wheezing and coughing and all that fun stuff. But my voice, I just love the sound of my voice.
Oh, it's a very white voice.
It's my barely white voice. And my son had to do a project at school, and he said, Dad, I need you to record an opening for me. I said, oh, perfect time.
Let me tell you a little bit about that, ladies. I guess enough for you. Daddy's got a little bit
I got the voice going. The opinions expressed in this program are not necessarily those of staff and management of this radio station.
Daddy's got a
Now
it's time for a little drinky poo. Okay, this is a part of the show where we take questions from the world's best audience. You send that email to onairq@livinginlv.com, right down there, onairq@livinginlv. I will read the men. Brett will read the women. Do we have any women? No.
So I will read some of them.
You will read some of them.
I will help you.
This is kind of fun. I'm going to have you read this one. This is from Craig Daughtry. Craig is a winner of Have a Drink on Me. I will show you a picture of Craig for those of you who remember.
We'll see him in just a little while. He's part of the Galaxy of Gods.
There he is. He is in the Galaxy of Gods. But there's Craig. Yeah. Craig's a longtime visitor of the Las Vegas, which is what makes this email pretty cool. Now, he sent this in to the Have a Drink on Me. He said, here, you can read it.
He's sent a beautiful picture.
Continue.
Okay.
Or go.
Scott, Brett.
Oh,
I've got,
God damn it. I forgot to talk about the Bricklayer 500.
Okay.
I'll have to skip that. Damn it.
Scott, Brett, I've got nothing for this week's answer. However, Scott, I found some old Vegas picks.
This is cool.
The Strip from the Stratosphere pre-win and encore.
Boom. There it is.
Picture number one.
Look at that.
Very
That's
cool.
the picture.
Number two is the Oasis.
Wait, you know what you see there?
Oh, sorry.
Free parking, free valet.
You got to see the Desert Inn. The Oasis Casino at the Dunes.
There it
1991.
is. You know what you see there?
Free parking.
Free parking is Sinatra going, hey, you want some free parking?
And hookers.
And hookers. Yeah, yeah. Nothing wrong with a good hooker. Right.
The original Treasure Island sign of the late
1990s. Let's stop right here. This.
That was a great badass sign, wasn't it?
That was the best.
And it says valet parking. Although it doesn't
valet
say free.
Valet parking.
Although it doesn't say free.
It's assumed. But look at that sign. That sign. You know what? I shed a small salt-infused tear when they removed that sign and put up that boom chicka boom chicka boom chicka boom TI sign that they have now.
Well, here's the other thought. God, this is the early late 1990s.
Such a good sign.
So that's what, 25 years ago, right?
Yes.
Is that, am I right on that? Let's say it's 1990, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
20 years ago.
Yeah, all right.
About almost 20 years
what
ago.
What do you say?
There's Mystere. So that tells you how long that show's been there for.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
You know.
How nice is that?
It probably needs to be refurbished a little bit.
Stop saying bad things about that.
No, I'm just saying. It tells you how long it's been there for.
Let me see. Hold on. The sign is at the museum. Which sign, Airport Limbo, is at the Neon Museum? Talking about this one? The Treasure Island sign?
That's
such a good sign. And we have one more.
And, of course, the welcome sign back in January 1998. 14 months before Mandalay Bay opened its doors and before you had parking at the welcome sign.
What I like about that is they have a large chunk of silver right in front of them. We couldn't afford gold back then, but here's a big chunk of silver for you because we...
And obviously a much thinner...
...are all about Vegas.
Mr. Craig, no kidding.
Let's see, which one do we want to do? Okay, so this is we got a couple from Stuart. Stuart and I and Melissa had a chance to see Matt Goss. Do you know who Matt Goss is?
Yeah, he's somewhere.
Well, there you go. He's somewhere, and that's...
Was he the one who won America's Got Talent?
Nope.
Okay. Then he's the magician.
Nope.
All right. Then he's the... I don't know.
Okay. So far, you've done a great job of knowing who Matt Goss is. So,
well,
Matt...
there you go.
So, here he is. First of all, this is from Stuart, who's currently flying back to the Russia as we speak. First of all, this is my image of Matt, and he showed me...
That's me.
Sorry.
That's me. That's me.
Well, that's a good-looking man there.
Glad I wasn't picking my nose.
Thank you. So first of all, Matt Goss used to be, yeah, I know.
Okay.
Matt Goss used to be, fuck man, used to be in a UK boys band way back in the 80s called Bros, B-R-O-S, period.
Okay.
It was Matt, his brother, somebody or other, and another guy. So it was a trio. Very, very super poppy. If you listen to their music, you'd be like, wow, that is poppy, man. So we went and saw them, or saw him. Just Matt, nobody else, this last weekend at the Gossy Room.
And there he is, okay.
There he is. Now, the Gossy Room is used to be called the Barge in...
Cleopatra's Barge.
That's right.
Okay.
At the Caesar. Now, before I read a little bit of what Stuart says, now, Stuart comes from the UK, so he'll have some very specific opinions about that. I will say this about the Gossy Room, which was, once again, the Barge. That room is a pretty cool, pretty intimate, really good room for live music. It's got a multiple tier thing that I didn't really like. So you walk in to the room, and there's a little bit of tier there. There's a top tier where all the VIPs, there's a stage, another thing over there, and a big thing back there.
Right.
So it's kind of multi-tiered. It's small, intimate, dark. As you can see, it's kind of a cool kind of, you know, the purple lighty kind of vibe. But I liked the room. I thought it was pretty cool. Okay, so here's what my friend Stuart says. So I come to him with memories of his teeny bopper past, and it was a huge teeny bopper past. To me, he sounded like an old boy band singer, technically competent, but kind of a bland, no real X Factor stud. The telling example for me is when he sang the Michael Bublé song. He is no Michael Bublé. He hit all the right notes, but missed out on all the characters. So what... What I thought about this was when he first got up, well, let me just say this. The stage there, you really can't tell on this picture, but the
looks
stage
small.
Is, oh my God, it's so small.
Okay.
Really small. And he's got a drummer, three horns, keyboard, bass, guitar, himself, and then occasionally four dancers. All on this little stage.
Holy mackerel.
So it felt a little claustrophobic to me.
Right.
So first and foremost, they need to do something about the staging. Either lose the dancers, find somewhere to, or take the barge and make it a bigger barge because it's just too small. I was really preoccupied by that. He's a pretty nice guy. He's a good looking guy. You know, he actually did a couple things. Have you ever heard of the term humble brag?
Yeah.
Kind of a thing now. So humble brag, if somebody goes, yeah, you know, I did 30 million CDs and I'm doing all right. It's a humble brag.
Right.
So you don't say, I'm a 30 million. So he did that two or three times.
Okay.
Where he humble bragged about his past. Now, he sold those 30 million CDs in the 80s. He didn't sell them last week. He sold them in the 80s. Right. He did it once. And I'm like, okay, I get you wanted to kind of let people know who you are. But he did it three or four times in the show. That was a little much. And then he did one other thing that I thought, let's see if he actually does. Actually, he says this, or Stuart says this. Okay, so he didn't really care for his stage performance. He lost me early on when he said he wrote five songs about his exes. I immediately thought, those poor women. And if he had so many women walk out on him, I wonder what the common factor was. Oh, yeah, it's him.
Yeah, there you go.
So clearly, I will say, Stuart came from a British perspective on this. Both Melissa and I, we came out of the show going, that's a 2-hour show, by the way.
Right.
Which is longer than your standard 90-minute anything in Vegas.
Yeah, you bet.
But after the 2 hours, we're like, well, that was pretty good. I thought that was kind of entertaining. I kind of liked it. Stuart continues. He made a big play of writing the songs that he once performed as being unforgettable. He was strangely ambiguous about his two Big Bros songs. I think most of the audience would leave the impression that he wrote them. I will say this about him. He is a good songwriter. Now, if you look at Bublé, right. Bublé has hung his hat on the what's called the American Songbook, which are the songs that Sinatra sings. He has no problem singing the vast majority of songs. I'm talking about Bublé now,
right.
Being the American Songbook, which is really good. And when Bublé sings his own songs, which he's done several, a couple, they are really good songs. So the one thing I would say about the Matt Goss thing is he's did kind of felt like more of his own songs than other songs. I don't know any of those songs.
Right.
The vast majority of people who are in Las Vegas don't know any of his own songs. I could tell they were well-written songs. They had nice melodies, and I get it. But I didn't know him, so I couldn't sing along. Okay. He did a couple American Songbook stuff. They were pretty good. He did Hotel California. He did kind of an interesting version of that. It was pretty good. He did one thing that I thought was a mistake. And that was, you know, this is a small room, so he wants to go out and shake hands and kiss babies, right? Which is right. Good. So the first time he did that, it was in between songs. He was talking and doing, you know, what's called crowd work.
Right.
And it was good. It was fun. And he was, you know, he actually started off saying, you know, this is the worst crowd I've ever had. It was a pretty quiet crowd that day. And it actually made sense a little bit to me. Then he did two different songs over the course of the 2 hours where they would do the chorus over and over and over again.
Right.
And during that, he was walking around and shaking hands, singing the same chorus over and over and over. And
how much do you have to pay for this show?
I don't know. Hard to say. Stuart got him for free. I think it was $25 or something like that. Okay. I don't know what it is.
Probably 25 too much.
And I want to say Big Joe gave us some, who's kind of his manager, bodyguard. He gave us some really nice C's. He was a super nice guy, super sweetheart about that. But so he's doing this over and over, roaming around, and it's crowded, so he's got a scoot, and he's got Joe blocking, and he's, hey, Silver Fox, more than once. He needs a new writer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God damn, you got to just either kill the music, do crowd work, because crowd work's important.
Sure.
There's something to be said for that. It breaks things up, gives him a rest, gives the musicians a rest. There's all great ideas behind that, but the same fucking chorus probably 15 times in a row.
Yeah, I would walk out or just go, what the hell are we doing?
It was really not the best thing for him to do.
All right.
He continues, he had an increasingly annoying habit of breaking off each song with some inane patter. Actually, that wasn't the worst part. And dragging his song out while he went around the audience shaking hands. So, yeah, he felt the same way.
This is the longest email ever. I just want you to know.
Yeah, I'm actually cutting half of it out. So he would give an overall 2 out of 5, mainly because of the backing band. Now, the backing band, plus he goes, Caesars, please enforce the 90-minute cutoff. So Stuart is a little harsher than I was. But I agree. It probably...
Speaking of 90 minutes, can I revise the over-under?
Oh, shit. We got to get going.
Yeah, I'm just wanted to let you know that.
So another one from Stuart. I'm going to hold this for next week. Okay. Because it talks about some charging that we've basically just pissed all over. Okay. Let's do a couple. We're going to skip RQS.
Okay.
I've got a great, I'll do a great story next week about real expensive wine on this trip. It was pretty funny. Okay, real quick, we're going to do two real chat chat questions. First question from Danny. If you were to open a retail store in Vegas geared towards tourists, what part of town would you choose? Here's some inside scoop. Danny wants to own or open a retail store geared towards tourists. So what's Danny is doing right now, she's asking for business advice.
Okay. Obviously, you'd want to be on or closest to the strip as possible.
Right.
Of course, that's going to be the most expensive way to do it.
Right.
So in a mall somewhere on the strip, good luck.
Yeah. So I would say not that. I don't think it matters as long as you're within 3, maybe 2 miles away. For example, where my studio is,
right,
that'd be fine. That's not the ticket.
But who's going? What tourist is going to that street?
It's not the ticket. So a lot of tourists go to the, what do you call those places, the shopping places where it's cheap. Fuck, I keep forgetting those names. What are those things called? Outlet stores.
Swap meets or something?
No, outlet stores. Okay. There's an outlet store.
Yeah.
North of Sahara, we're north of Sahara, south of Fremont Street. There's a big outlet store there. A lot of tourists go there. Tons of tourists go there.
Sure.
No one's walking to that fucking place.
No,
they're taking a taxi or Uber, whatever. Here's what the trick is simply this. Those fuckers are advertising like crazy.
Yeah.
Do you know how much a small show has to advertise?
Oh.
Just to stay.
It's crazy.
It's 10 grand a month. I mean, a week. Because people are only here 3.5 days. So you've got to advertise your ass off. So it's not about walking distance or that kind of thing. It's you can't have it in North Las Vegas. You can't have it in Deep Henderson.
No.
Ain't nobody going there.
You go down to the Bell's factory outlets down on the southern end of the strip, down by the South Point, down that direction.
Yep.
And get some retail space. That's not crazy expensive, but there's shopping there. Yeah, you can be at the premium outlet malls up near downtown. That might not be as bad either, so I would certainly check those out. But
she says, I'm thinking Flamingo Tropicana, somewhere with a name value. Yeah, sure, but the question
is... As in around those streets or around those casinos?
Well, they're parallel, so they have to be... Yeah, they are. Well, I'm guessing the street. But the question is how far either way. If you go 1 mile, maybe. If you go 5 miles, no. Nobody is going... No tourist is going to, for instance, the antique... malls that are here, and there's some big ones that are very, very popular.
Maybe an idea would be somewhere around the pawn shop that Pawn Stars has. There's people there. That's the attraction. There's your traffic.
So maybe, that's actually a good place. So maybe you get close to somebody that's already driving a lot of traffic. But I think I've said this to Danny, that
which is less expensive because you were closer to downtown.
And he's opened up some larger thing. But the deal is, you've got to let them. People have got to find you.
Right.
That's the deal. And if you're
the thing to reach tourists, and I made this mistake with my Walking Gourmet business, there's things like, what is it, Vegas Today magazine or Vegas whatever, outrageously expensive and very little results for us. And I spent a ton of money in a short period of time and went, why the hell did I just do that? I didn't like the idea from the get-go, and
that's
for some reason I still did it.
And that's the problem. So and so again, why do people, this is very much like my football argument. Okay, what do you do? If you didn't come here for football, now am I going to come here to do some sort of retail show? Now, Danny says, I have a plan for that. Don't worry. Well, good. Great.
Well, the biggest plan you better have is how you're going to pay your mortgage or your lease payment.
Yep.
And,
She said, do you want me to share this? I probably shouldn't share this. She's got an idea that makes sense. But, Danny, that last line you put, you and I should talk about that on Thursday. All right. Last question for chat questions. Glenn wants to know, who's from Syracuse. Have you ever considered other types of clothes with the Vegas Video Network logo besides visors? A ball cap or a t-shirt would be awesome. Here's the thing about branded content. And the truth is, while I like it, and clearly the people who are and have a drink me like it, the vast majority of people don't give a shit about it. And while I wish they do give a shit about it, and I really like my logo, the truth of the matter is people don't care. And I'll give you a perfect example. There is a hugely powerful online broadcast network called Twit TV. They are far and away the 800-pound gorilla of what I do. That guy's bringing in $10 million plus a year in advertising. He is not to be toyed with. And so they thought the same thing. Well, shit, let's do some shirts and hats and visors and all that.
Right.
And they stopped it because no one was fucking buying them. This is a place that has millions of viewers per month. And
if you do it, if you do something like that, I've always thought, why are you selling those? You give them away, have walking, talking billboards for you. Give me, you know, somebody comes to your restaurant. Why do you have the swag over there? Just say, you know what, your bill was over $100. Here's a T-shirt.
Yeah,
we appreciate that.
Yeah, I've sold a few of the visors, not very many.
Right.
You know, most of them are used as a Haddam thing.
Right.
I give them out to Vegas Video Network hosts because I think they should have them. It's just kind of moving. Like, for instance, Stuart won one in the Haddam last week. He's going to put it on and take a picture of himself in Red Square. He may or may not be arrested. We're hoping he doesn't. That's going to be a great picture, and you can bet your ass I'm going to put it up somewhere that says Vegas Video Network is worldwide. But other than, like, for T-shirts, really haven't thought. Nobody said, you know what, I must have a Vegas Video Network T-shirt. If I get 100 people to say that, fuck, I'll make a T-shirt. But if I don't, I'm going to stick with the visor and leave it at that, which makes me very thirsty. Now we're going to be under.
Come on!
Yeah. We're going to be under. All right, it's time for Have a Drink on Me. This is part of the show where you send an email to haveadrink@vegasvideonetwork.com, and there's a good chance that you might win some fantabulous prizes. Scott, you are a habitual liar. I don't believe you, but I do believe your buddy Brett. Well, I don't blame him. He's a trustworthy guy. What might people actually win?
Fabulous prizes, including our gold-plated visor. The Vegas Video Network, it's in black gold.
Not a T-shirt.
Texas tea. Fabulous original music from Scott's own hands. Crisp Acoustic 1 and 2 and Gajazzathon. And finally, a fabulous beer, Stella Artois. On Scott, or any other kind of, oh, God. Or any other kind of cocktail Scott might like.
That's right.
Or you might like to have for Scott.
That applause was not for him. It was for the tongue work I just did there. Okay.
And that was Gene Simmons making his appearance on the station. I apologize for my coughing. I'm coming down with a cold. So when people see that, I'm doing my best to not make it a big deal.
You're doing a great job. Now, of course, if you also somehow show the Gajazzathon or Crisp Acoustic CD somehow in the wild, well, then, like this, look at that. There's a very smart baby out there because he and or she listened to the...
It was listening.
Look at that. Oh, by the way, we are also in, I think that might be Red Square, as a matter of fact, as well. Yeah. But here's the real thing. If you get yourself one of them their visors, magical things can happen to you. Oh, Scott, you liar. That can't possibly be true. Really?
You might be a part of the galaxy of God. There's Binky and her husband, I think, or it might be accomplice. There's Greg, who sent some cool pictures. There's Michael, there's Scott, and Shan, not Shan. There's Alan, who didn't send a long email. What happened, Alan? There's Aaron, there's Pops, there's Sammy, there's your buddy, Scott, your best friend. There's Jackie, who we've lost in the war. No one has seen her, we believe she is in.
Oh, wrong one. Oh, that one. There it is. Oh.
Crazy. There's Brett's dad, who's very proud that he does his show. There's Don. There's a dog. There's Wayne. There's Mike. Watch out!
Doug.
Mike's got a gun! Don't be afraid! There's Danny, who wants us to give her advice. And then there's Brett, who's a guy who's sitting next to me.
All right, that's enough of that. Stop it! Stop the music! Shut the band down! All right.
Yes, indeed.
Good Lord.
The band would not stop. They were part of the
band can't stop.
Cleopatra Barge.
Okay, here it is. Here's last week's Have a Drink on Me. We got eight. We're back up there. We got 18 of 18 correct selections.
All right.
And the correct answer was strip steak at Mandalay Bay.
Oh, I did not realize that that's what it was.
Really?
Okay.
How about that? Yeah. There it is. And apparently the fourth hint I gave you, for those of you in the live chat, may have been somewhat erroneous.
Oh, even better.
So I apologize.
But it didn't throw them off. They still figured it
out. Okay, so here we go. Ready to go. First up, we've got Gene Fulcrum. This is not Gene Pops, but his son, mononucleosis, and I don't see.
He's not in.
I don't see him in there. Okay, we got all kinds of new people in there I don't recognize. Okay, so there's Gene, and then we've got Tom Yu, and I believe Tom was in there. There he is. There's Tom. One for there, and then one for being in the what you call it? Oh, he is here. Where is he? Which one's?
That's Mike Yu talking about Tom Yu.
Yeah, oh, he's here. Yeah. Tom is. Okay. Alan Perry, I don't think he's in there. And a shame on you, Alan, for not giving us one of your War and Pieces, because it's one of my favorite things that you do. So I'm sad, and I might even cry. Monica Fagan, I saw Binky in there just a few seconds ago.
Who's Gene F1330?
Is she in there? Is that him? Okay.
Is that Pop's son? Son of Pops.
Okay. Oh, yep. Yeah, okay, so put it, Son of Pops. Binky is in there, so put in Binky.
All right. It'd be nice if you guys just kept the same damn name every time. That's all.
This is kind of like an intelligent test for us.
Yeah.
See if we're keeping up. Kevin Whipf. By the way, Kevin, I want to know if you have received your visor. We have brought on a very high-end visor shipping company. That'd be Danny. And we have shipped. Now, Kevin's in Canada. He was just in Las Vegas, as a matter of fact. And by the way, congratulations to Kevin because he's lost some weight. He's feeling pretty good about that, so I dig that. But he's not in the live chat, so fuck him. Okay. Aaron Perry,
Did you say Danny?
Danny's coming up. Okay, Michael Snow, Chicago Snowman, I believe he is in the live chat. No.
He was.
No, I'm sorry.
Have I missed anybody yet?
I don't think so.
Okay.
We'll find out soon enough. Glenn Santa. We know Glenn's in there. This is his first time in the live chat, a previous Haddam winner. Again, at the Velveteen Rabbit. He's in, by the way, in New York. And then we've got Mike Q. Q stands for, I will cue you up and shoot you. That's not right. But we know Mikey's in there. There he is. DPS, Danny Parcel Service. There he is. Give me a Mike Q there.
Mike Q.
Which is Quigley, in case you're wondering.
Uh-huh.
I bet you wondered that, didn't you? We've got Ken Anderson, who is often in the live chat, but he's out there writing a book.
Really?
Yeah, he's not there.
You got new puppy.
I just
got
a new pooch. That's right. Oh, there he is. Oh, shit.
Here.
He is there. I'm just testing him. Apparently, he is there. I've got more people than I can see.
Testing his hearing.
Way to go. He does have a new puppy.
Yeah.
Congratulations on that, by the way. Next up, we've got Gary Romberg. Now, Gary's a little testy with me sometimes. Gary wrote and he goes, hey, fuckwad.
Wow.
You missed me last time.
Oh, we owe him, right?
Give me they don't have to do it. I got a double for him.
Okay.
Now, he didn't actually use the word faqua, as you may have heard me say it something differently. But Gary sometimes can be a little, Gary, I just want you to, I think Gary's the one who I helped his Roku.
I think it's the same guy. Names.
Yeah, he's like, hey, your thing is not working. I'm going, hey, pump the brakes, big fella. I'll help you. I'm a giver. Look at me. You may suckle from the breast of Scott if you need to. I will help you. So, Gary, I love you. But you don't have to be mean-spirited. Yeah. Here's your double.
One, two.
Okay, moving forward. Eric Hansen, Airport Limbo. Airport Limbo. That's just wrong. Apparently, they didn't like the sucking from the nipples of Scott. Eric writes
something very small. He says, currently warmer than Las Vegas. Who knew Las Vegas hit 30 degrees? I did. I drove over Mountain Pass yesterday on my way to Los Angeles for the day. Took 6 farging hours to get there. And there was snow on the way there that caused a monster.
Which we reject. Snow's bad.
The answer you see is strip steak. You see it, strip steak. The answer you see is strip steak.
Why did you say that so many times?
I don't know.
Okay, so Eric's got one for there. Eric's got another because he is in the live chat.
I gave him one.
Oh, did you already? Attaboy. Danny Crockett.
Does she have a video?
King of the... No, Danny has been slacking with the videos.
Well, that's good for everybody.
Maybe. I was gonna say, maybe you did not embrace her and help her and bring
That's
her
your job, baby.
Bring her to your bosom and say, "Don't be afraid, Danny. We want you to provide content." No, you're like, "Hey, I don't." But here, you can read it because it's actually kind of more addressed to you.
All right,
Danny.
Alas, I have been busy rounding up incredible content for the Niche to Profit show,
and
I have drained my creative brain cells for poetry and such. But here is something short and pithy for your reading pleasure.
I want you to do it in this song. Ready? make it work with this song. Go. No, that one.
That's
didn't
great.
Work.
Strip steak is the place you speak of.
Go with this one.
Oh, good Lord.
Let's see what you made of.
Strip steak is the place you speak of. It won't be getting a happy hour review since the hours are the same. Of same are ridiculous, huh?
That's it. I don't know.
Scott, have you tried the rum cake? Only $21, such a steal. So, Brett, are you cursing my name as you tried to read this as a poem? Bwah. Yeah, I curse your name daily. But it's, yes.
Anyway, one for here? Did you finish?
Yes.
Okay, one for that and one because she's in the live chat.
Yeah, there's Danny.
Laughing right now as we speak.
See, it's very difficult to ad-lib something you've never read before.
Really? Thus, I've made a living doing this.
Well, I mean, you're trying to understand where she's going with it. And yes.
Stuart, one for there. I don't think he was in the live chat last week from Russia, but Stuart writes, it was very crafty. See, I said the steak place is crafty because I was thinking craft steak. Right. In fact, it was strip steak because that was bad. Okay. To try to put your live chat crew off, please remember not to talk too fast as some of us listen to you at 1.5 speed. You know how he listens to podcasts? He listens to a boatload of them, which breaks my heart.
One and a half to at half at 50%
at one,
faster.
No, at 1.5 speed. Yeah, right. So
it's 50% less time. Well, I talk fast anyway, so it's got to be interesting for him to try and figure out what the fuck Robert is going to say right now.
Hey, Stuart, great to have you here. We had a really good time. We really talked about like, the whole wine thing. It was pretty good. Anyways, it was pretty crafty that you did this interview. Anyways, you're from. His
That's
head just
funny.
Exploded.
That's funny.
All right, and finally, not finally, finally, but Steve Rhodes. Steve is a new inputter, and Steve writes.
I like it. He's nice and pithy. Yeah. Short and sweet, my friend Google just can't be beat. It's got to be strip steak at Mandalay, but will that be where I take my drink in May? Steve Rhodes from Black Country in Kinver, UK.
How about that?
Kinver Uck, as he says.
Very good.
All right.
He's so he did what's called the assumptive close. Yeah, I'm going to win. I'll take it in May.
Yeah. God bless interesting your point. All right. He's got some time to figure it out.
It's time for some video. We're going to do some video. And first video we're going to do is the one I should have done from Pops. Here's Pops' video. By the way, Pops is trying to look out for all of our health.
From last week?
Yeah.
Okay.
He wrote me and said, yeah, I'm not giving you another video, you fuckwad. Just use one. I'm like,
good.
Oh, easy, easy. Pump the brakes. I'm trying to be on your side. Here's Pops' thing. Pops, again, wants all of us to be a wee bit healthier.
All right. Eat these nuts.
This is not going to be the usual funny video. Sorry, but it's time for a little tough.
Stand by. The usual funny video would imply they were funny. Oops, right. Sorry. That wasn't very
just
nice.
Just the host.
Bro, why did you say that? That wasn't very nice.
Hello. Somebody mentioned for a goal for 2016, losing a little weight. Mentioned going to yoga classes or maybe joining a gym. That's all fine and good, but since this was me just a little less than 4 years ago,
look at that.
Do I have
big
your attention
there.
Now? This is a subject I know a little bit about. You can go to yoga classes and you can be all limber and supple and your chakras can be all aligned.
I am limber. I am supple.
And my chakras have always been aligned.
By the way, you have one of the nicest.
Especially my wheat chakras.
I like your chakras.
Thank you.
And you're not going.
I had some mental chakra therapy a little while ago, and God, that felt pretty good.
Lose an ounce. Or you can go work out really hard at the gym, gain a bunch of muscle either over or under that fat, and just look fatter than you do now. Or you can take these five items out
here
of
comes.
Your diet. Bread, rice, potatoes, pasta, and corn. Want me to say it again? Bread, rice,
grab
potatoes,
it.
Pasta, and corn. See ya.
I can't. Give Pop shit ever again for doing a video.
These nuts!
He actually there. He wrote a little bit there. Read that quickly.
The strip steak, yada yada. Although I really appreciate it, I'm going to decline your kind offer of allowing me two video entries this week. Like all good things, Pops is best enjoyed in moderation. If you can locate my video from last week, please use that entry. If not, no big deal. One of the things I like best about the podcast is its unpredictability of it. It's
stop,
like,
just stop for a minute. What you're about to hear is him basically shitting all over us.
Oh, it's like playing a gig. You can plan it all out all you want, but stuff goes wrong. Emails get lost, videos
Oops.
Get scrambled,
Oops.
TriCasters melt down,
what?
Mic cables run past over
what?
The chair, and sometimes Brett's hands move so fast that somebody starts yelling, "Hey, did you put me in? You handled it all with fairness and class. Let my video getting lost last week be a lesson to all that are not in the live chat. I was there. I talked to Scott. Everything was cool. If I hadn't been in the live chat, I would have just been home, confused, abusing my monitor and keyboard, yelling, 'What? WTF?'"
Okay.
way too fantastic.
1, 2, 3 for him. Did you put any in for him already?
Not yet. No.
So one from me for the entry, and then two more. One for the video, and one for being in the live chat. Thank you so much, Pops.
He doesn't like my hands moving so fast, apparently. I didn't realize they moved that fast.
You can't talk.
It's all part of the secret handshake.
Understood that. And then finally, we've got the birthday boy from last week. We got Big Bobby.
We got Big Bobby.
Big Bobby says this.
Hey, guys. I want to thank you for last week's birthday surprise.
You're welcome.
I had no clue that my son had gotten in contact with you. Thank you again.
Oh, that was for you? Oh, shit. That was the wrong guy. It wasn't supposed to be his birthday.
It was for the 9 million other people in town.
Strip Steak at Mandalay Bay is a high-end bar and restaurant with a sophisticated atmosphere, which serves up some amazing dishes.
That's short.
Like Maine lobster fritters, ribeye steaks.
Tomahawk right there.
Mac and cheese, and their signature strip steak. Now, how about some beefcake?
This music's going to fuck me up, by the way.
Oh, my God. Look at this.
How about this? We're looking good here, baby.
Yes, indeed. I still haven't seen myself.
Oh, you're in there. I'll find you. Hold on. I'll pause it.
Right,
see.
Yeah, that's probably my butt right
Wait,
there.
Wait, there you are right there. By God, you're front. And so, you and Bob are hanging out in the front. Keep going. There we are. There's more of you. Oh, look at that. That's me.
Look at you all tatted up
naked.
Again. Look at me doing that pelvic there. Thrust for Brett.
Every time he puts me on a body, he makes my head, this is Wayne, he makes my head a little bit too big. Kind of freaks me out a little bit.
Yeah. I really liked the one last week because I thought that was hilarious with us hanging out.
You guys have a good one, and we'll see you next week.
It was. I actually put that one up on my Facebook
We got
Facebook
a lot of comments
page.
About that.
Yeah. I did get a, and as a reminder, I'm a good-looking man right there. I don't care who you are. Okay, so there's one for Bob for sending it in. There's one. You got to put two more in for Bob, one for the video.
Is he in the live chat?
He is, and one for the live chat.
All right.
Way to go, my brother.
All righty.
Way to go, my brother. Way to go, my brother.
There we go. Okay, good stuff, Bob. Good stuff. As well.
Thanks,
wait, one more. I got my second Bob.
All right.
I'm Bob in the
room. Easy, Chan. Or actually, yeah, Danny. Oh, my God, my eyes. That's what people say.
You wish we were all that good looking, that's for sure.
Let's not say that. Let's just say we are that good looking.
I had those abs back in 1986.
Really?
No.
I've never had abs.
No.
I hate people who have abs.
Yeah.
Fuckers. Go ahead.
The only six-pack I ever had was in my hand. All right. Here we go.
Oh, you just dropped one.
I just dropped one.
Put it back in there.
That must be our winner.
Yeah, make that the winner. Oh, that's exciting.
I dig down deep. And I go to the winner being...
Is...
It's Glenn Santa.
And it was so funny.
Well, I think he just left and went to bed.
Yeah, Glenn just said, I got to go to bed. I hope I win. So listen,
Glenn, you won.
Nope, he didn't win.
Squeaky wheel gets the oil. Sorry, Glenn, the dice hit the floor. It's not a valid pull.
That's right. Glenn doesn't get to win. Well, he's actually still in the live chat, though, so we'll do that. All right, Glenn, you won right, some
He's like,
stuff.
Oh, my God, I'm still here. I'm here. I'm alive. I'm awake. Now I'm awake.
All right.
Congratulations.
Now, all of a sudden, he wants to be in the live chat. All
yes.
right. Here we go. Let's look at this week's Have a Drink Upon Moskisk. Blink. All right, here's our three clues. Clue number one. I wonder if those flowers have anything to do with it.
Snazzy looking place.
In that photo there, I wonder if those flowers have anything to do with the name of it. Oh, number two. You don't like flowers? Fair enough. Check out that little water feature in the front of the casino. Hit number two. You don't like the flowers? I get you. Check out that little water feature in the front of the casino. And hint number trace, or hint number C, as Brett numbers things.
You got me.
You don't like flowers or fountains? Well, how about the Munster's matriarch?
Ooh.
Oh, that was one of my favorite, by the way.
That was a good
one.
She was a hottie.
Thank you. Don't like the flowers or the fountains? With you. How about the Munster's matriarch? Again, if you know the answer to this question, you're going to send it to haveadrink@vegasvideonetwork.com. Again, haveadrink@vegasvideonetwork.com. I think we hit the
over.
Fuck.
I told you. It's okay to go over once in a while. I knew we had a lot to talk about today. But the amazing thing is, Scott, it's only 8:30.
Yeah, it's a little
bit better.
So
we'd still be here for another hour. if we are at our normal time.
I have a brutal call.
You're going to be happy to be able to go to bed nice and early.
That's my work environment tomorrow because I'm going to be doing this. It's the world of concrete. Look at all that. Oh,
look at the pallets of brick.
Men, absolutely. Men building stuff.
They're going to knock it down.
Competitive environment.
Lay them down.
Knocking them down, laying them down. That's what I'm going to be. By the way, here's a quick end. Actually, I'll give the live chat where you can actually watch this because it's kind of, excuse me, special. And it's pretty cool. All right. If you want to check us out, you can send an email to onairq@livinginlv.com. Again, onairq@livinginlv.com. If you want to leave us a voicemail, we'd love for you to do that. Hell, we think you've got dulcet tones and stuff like that. You go to our homepage, click the red tab on the right-hand side. When you do that, little thing pops up. Click the green button and go, hey, I want to leave you a message. Jane did it, and Jean's, or not Jean, Glenn, or something, Tappa did it, and God bless his little heart, he's going to jail now because we actually sent the cops after him because he scared the shit out of me. If you're watching us or listening to us on iTunes, give us a 5-star review. If you have us on YouTube, share with us, give us a thumbs up, tell everybody how much you love us. We're on Roku, over 31,500 accounts have installed, Stitcher, TuneIn, Chromecast, Apple, Google, and Fire TV. We're going to be on Google Play as soon as they get their shit together, and of course, the Vegas Video Network. I am your host, Scott Whitney. Out there is the lovely and sexy Brett Grant. We are thankful
Super
for you guys
co-host.
To play around here. We'll see you guys next week on the Living in Las Vegas podcast. Take care, everybody.
Who wins the Super Bowl, Scotty?
I do.
Congratulations.
I don't know because I can't fucking watch it.
Screw you, Channel 7 and Cox.
Channel 8.
Channel 8. 7. It's a rounding error.
Yeah, whatever. That tells you how often I watch it. That's the crybaby system, CBS.
I'm taking my mom going home. We crack ourselves up.
I want my $3.